Please be seated. So thank you so much for coming out. Thank you for your faithfulness and attendance. What a way to honor a man who lived his life for Christ. Brother Cliff, go to the pulpit and open us in prayer.
Taken him home. And we thank you, God, for all that you have blessed us with in our relationship with him. And we pray now, Lord, as we ourselves now have to let go, we pray, God, that we will be thrilled for him and that we will make sure that we're going to the same place and that we will meet again because you have promised this. And we say this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Would you take your hymnal, please, in front of you and turn to hymn number 186. Once you've found your place, if you will, please stand and let's sing together. Hill far away, let's sing together.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest stand.
We're here today to celebrate a life that mattered. A life that impacted eternity, that made a difference. And what a joy and a blessing to be the pastor and the friend of Bill Hogan. And what a privilege to be able to come today and stand to honor him, his life, who he was and what he was. What a sweet man. When I heard that Bill was near heaven, I thought about him. And for some reason, it came to me that in all the years that I knew Bill, I never remember seeing him frown many times. He was a guy that had that built-in smile that was seemingly always there. And as one of my faithful deacons in this church, we saw some wonderful and great and mighty times, but we also saw some very difficult times and times that you had to go through to get to the better times. And it was always, no matter what time, Bill Hogan was loyal and dependable. What a loving, kind, and gracious man he was. The scripture says that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And I was thinking about these minutes I was going to share today, and I thought about the tree that Bill was, and I thought about the tree that he had planted in our souls. And I thought, because we knew him and he passed our way, that tree will always be there, planted in our hearts, planted in our souls, and we can go there and we can pull fruit from that tree, and we can apply it and use it and enrich our own lives with that tree of life that Bill Hogan was. I think about, as I've already said, that this wonderful smile that Bill always had, and Bill had a smile on his face because he had one in his heart. And the smile in his heart was reflected in the smile on his face and the smile that his life was. He was a man that possessed a wonderful, refreshing simplicity that made you want to be around him and made you like him and made you want to gather some things from his life. Louise, years ago, most of you know the story. Years ago, we had a bus ministry here, and the bus ministry picked up boys and girls and brought them to Sunday school and church. And we had kids that grew up on those buses that we started picking up when they were this high, and they grew into high school, coming to Sunday school and Berean Baptist on those buses. That was a blessed thing. And down the side of the bus, we had Fayetteville's Friendliest Church on the side of the bus, and that bus would go through Bill and Louise's community down on Queensdale every single Sunday. And Louise would see that and see that and see that, and finally she said one Sunday, "I'm going to go to that church and just see if it really is Fayetteville's Friendliest." And Louise came and got saved and went home and told Bill about it. And Bill started sort of coming, and I'd go see him, and I think I'd go in the front door, and I think Bill would go out the back door. And one Thursday evening, I happened to catch him, and he was on his way out. He was standing by his car about to leave in the drive there on Queensdale where they spent their lives, and he couldn't get out because my car was and so I stood there in the driveway that evening and led Bill to Jesus. He really got saved.
And then he began to change and to become that sanctified person that God wants to make us all into. And then he became one of the deacons, and we served God together in this place. This is not funeral rhetoric. This is a funeral rhetoric. I believe that Bill, you see, folks, there's a lot of people that have been eternally impacted through the ministries of you faithful folks. And there's a lot of them there today, and I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever that they are having a gala. And it's good to know that. And this tree that Bill planted, though, this memory tree, and it's time for it to take the memories and put them all and go to this memory tree and just pluck the memory of that constant smile that Bill left us. It's good to go there today and to pluck from that fruit tree the encouragement that he was to me as his pastor over and over and over. It's good today to go there and pick off of the tree the memory of his encouragement, of his faithfulness, of his dependability, off of that memory tree that he planted in our souls. His wonderful, loving attitude that he kept and maintained as long as I knew Bill Hogan. And so we celebrate his life, the life of somebody that passed through and really did matter. Really mattered. And we can hug all of that to ourselves today. And we can learn and grow and be blessed and strengthened and helped because the life of Bill Hogan mattered. It impacted us and impacted eternity. Melissa, you've done such a good job with your papa. And you'll be eternally grateful for the contribution that you have made in taking care and being there. And Ms. Bird and I, on all the occasions we've talked to you, we say to each other, what a blessing you've been and how proud your papa was of you. And Lenora, Jeff, God bless you. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the fact that Bill planted a tree in our souls, a tree of memory and blessing and help and joy. And may we go there often and pluck from that tree those things that help us that were planted there because he was such a tree. Use that in our lives. And thank you for allowing us to share a few minutes remembering him in a special way today. In the lovely name, the wonderful name of our Savior Jesus, we pray. Amen.
If I surveyed all the good things that come to me from above, if I could count all the blessings from the storehouse of love, I'd simply ask for the favor of him beyond mortal end, and I'm sure he would grant it again and again. stroll over heaven with you some glad day when all the troubles and heartaches are truly vanished away. Then we'll enjoy all the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you. Then we'll meet all our loved ones and meet Jesus too. That will be a glad reunion, and there'll be much to view when we go over heaven with you. I want to stroll. Troubles and heartaches are vanished away. Then we'll enjoy all the beauty where all things are new. I want to stroll over heaven with you. I want to stroll over heaven. Bill Hogan. With you.
I'd ask that you locate your hymnal one more time and let's sing together again. Hymn number 425. And I'll let you remain seated this time as long as you promise to sing out. Let's sing the first and the last together.
Before I open the Word of God with you, let me share with you a poem that Melissa has asked me to read. And if you'd like to follow along, it's on the back of your program right here. It was written in the year 2002. You ever noticed there is no other love like a papa's love? There's never a touch or voice like papa's. No one can make a noise in a little shop piddling around like he can. Okay, so a big shop. No one can spoil you as much. Like taking you out for ice cream when you're not supposed to go. Then, of course, Grandma asks, "Where have you been?" You know then you have been caught. Oh, well, too late. A papa can and will always be there when you need them, no matter how little or big the job or favor may be. Then, to sum up a papa altogether, how wonderful he can be. P stands for powerful man for God. A stands for amazing papa and husband. P stands for positive guidance. And an A stands for astonishing man to serve his Lord. Thank you. I love you, Papa. Written by Melissa Hogan, May 19th, 2002. You have already heard from Stephen Bird the salvation testimony of Brother Bill, so I will not have to share that with you, but I would like to share with you from Philippians chapter number 1. Paul writes to the church at Philippi, and this is what he says. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What a powerful statement. Grab a hold of that very idea right there. To live is Christ, and then to die is gain. And let's face it, when we come together for funerals, very, very, very seldom do we ever think about gain. What do we think about? Loss. We think about what we're losing. We're losing Bill. He's no longer here. But from Paul's perspective, death was gain. Life was Christ. As I received the text from Melissa that articulated the date that Bill was baptized, 1977, April 1977. And I thought to myself, that was a long time ago. Would you agree that was a long time ago? Then I did the math, and I realized this man was 46 years old when he was baptized. And I want you to think for just a moment, when was the last time you saw a 46-year-old climb into the baptismal pool and say, "I need to be baptized"? It's not a often thing. It's not a routine thing. Most of the time in a Baptist church, you see children being baptized. How often do you see a man who's lived 4 decades say, "I'm not embarrassed to get into a baptismal pool and follow my Lord in believer's baptism"? So then I thought, it seems to me that Bill got it. It wasn't an empty prayer. This man's life was radically changed by Christ. 2 more years and he would have had 4 decades of serving the Lord faithfully. Brother Jeff, I don't know a single blemish on his 4 decades. In fact, I can't think of a time, gentlemen, Paul Bears, when there wasn't a time he was in church outside of providentially hindered. I mean, we are dealing with a man that not only was sold out to Christ, but he was sold out to the church that Christ died for. And this man got on board. He got on board. See, we're not having to preach Bill Hogan into heaven today. We're not having to create stories and somehow convince you that he's there, and you know in the back of your mind you're kind of doubting. No. You know this man loved the Lord. You go visit him and talk about the Lord. He understood, family. He understood that absent from the body was present with the Lord. It wasn't about going to be with Louise. He had a Savior that he was looking to spend time with. Heaven is not a glorious reunion of family. It is the opportunity to be with Christ. May I remind you, church, that Christ did not give his life so that you could spend eternity with Aunt Susie. He died to redeem a people unto himself. And Bill got that. Bill had a hold of that. See, you shared with him the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for our sins. And sometimes that's become so trite, and we hear it so many times that we wonder, I've heard it. Do you understand, family, that outside of Christ there is no hope? It's not automatic. We're not talking about the fact that he was a good person. We're not saying he was faithful and therefore he's in heaven. We are saying that when he heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, he believed on Christ for his salvation. And that faith in Christ, you described a tree, began to grow. And church, as you well know, on Sunday morning, as we've been working through 2 Peter chapter 1, you know what Bill began doing? He began to add to his faith. And we saw him adding to his faith. I became aware of who Bill Hogan was in 1988. I wasn't his pastor, but I was a member of the church. And then when Austin was born in 1994, on the same date that Bill was born a few years earlier, now our family had this special connection because we had a child born on Bill Hogan's birthday. And so Austin and Bill would share a birthday a few years apart, of course. And we always got a card. And that was just a little tiny way of saying, we love the people of the body of Christ. You see, we're always wondering, are they converted? Are they transformed? Are they really saved? And what you're expecting is a changed life. And that's why a man at the age of 46 years old says, I'll get into a baptismal pool and I'll follow the Lord in believer's baptism. I'm not too embarrassed to follow the Lord at the age of 46. And that gives us great confidence. That gives us great hope. And so I would say to you, if you too want to be with Christ when you pass from this earth, like you will, then put your faith in Christ. And if you say, my faith is in Christ, then let me ask you, are you living for Christ? Are you living for Christ? If someone looked at your life, would they say you're living for yourself or you're living for Christ? Let's pray. Steve, come and close us.
His faithfulness, his dependability, again, the positive outlook that he always had, and what an encouragement he was. And even when we went to visit him when he was sick, we always would leave more encouraged ourselves just having been with him. And so, Father, thank you for the life of Bill. Thank you for doing a work in his life. May we remember most of all, the person that Bill, I think, loved the most, and that was his Savior, Jesus Christ. May we remember the truths upon which Bill stood and lived out the remainder of his life. May we remember the difference that he made in the lives of so many. And Father, I pray for the family. I pray for Melissa and Lenore and Jeffrey in the days ahead as they continue to grieve and as they adjust to Bill's absence here on the earth. May they rejoice that he is with you in heaven, that there's no doubt about that. That he is happier now than he has been in several weeks. I pray that you would give them peace, encourage their hearts, and I ask that we would, and those that are around them, those that are close, would continue to reach out and encourage their hearts as well. And we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.
All right, Paul Barris, if you'd come. We want to invite you, if your schedule permits you, to come to the Cumberland Gardens with us for the final goodbye. And then I want to encourage you to begin thinking right now about what would you like to share, one thought about Bill. We'll gather around a little bit more intimate, a little bit more family. And if there's something that you remember about Bill Hogan, we'd love to hear that. The family, I'm sure, would love to hear that as well. Gentlemen, if you could come and help us.